I just am so grateful for this series, Everyday Matters. And this is, man, this is a powerhouse series that I'm just getting so many different reports and all kind of some great, great words from you guys, from the church, about what this is doing in your world and in your homes and you as being single and just really coming to a place to understand, man, I reap what I sow and I have the ability to sow. Every single day I'm sowing something and I'm going to reap. And when you really begin to really nail this down, that every day matters, when you get that, it is going to change your everyday. That's what's going to happen. And we're seeing that take place. And even in worship this morning, that sense of walking in that deeper relationship and always wanting to go deeper. And today's message on this right here, Everyday Matters, is to stay connected. And what does that look like when you understand what it means to stay connected to God, stay connected to the Father, staying connected in regards to prayer, in regards to getting into our word, and day after day after day, making it a habit that we honestly, church, that we would get past the Cheerio prayers and we would really designate time before our King, designate time before our Father, designate time before Jesus, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to get onto our face and just spend time with Him day after day after day after day after day. When you're in a relationship with somebody, you want to spend time with that person. That's just how God has created us. And it's no different in our relationship with God, that we would honestly come to a place to stay connected to Him. How many times is it that we just cry out to Him? He hears most from us when we are in a time of crisis. How true is that? That really the only time He hears your voice is when you go through crisis and you're in need. Instead of this day after day after day after day relationship that we're called to have with Him. To know that He is a God who has created us to be known, that He is a God who wants to be known. He's a God who desires to be known by His creation, that's you and I. And then His sons and daughters, His children that He has adopted through the blood of the cross, through Jesus Christ, working that cross, that He would get to know us on a father-son, father-daughter relationship. It's powerful. It's beautiful. But how is it that when really, honestly, we for whatever reason, we've never really had that connection with God the Father. We've never really had that desire to spend time in His presence one-on-one with Him day after day after day. And it's really not a habit. And it's just something that we do just to get through it. And it really is this crisis mode where God hears me in time of crisis. But other than that, God, I'll call you again when I'm going through, when I have a need. Man, that's just, I think that's, could be the top of being selfish. I'll call on you when I need you. But man, I want this great relationship with you. Could you imagine if that happened in marriage? Imagine if that happened in a relationship between a husband and a wife. Man, I only talk to you when I need something. But when you understand what it is day after day after day to stay connected. And man, the Bible talks about what it is to be a newborn baby in Christ, and you need to start on the milk, and then you get to the meat, and then you, I mean, it's amazing how God through His word shows us things. Even as newborn Christians, there is a maturity process, and there's this thing that we start small and then go big, and the more time we spend with Him, the deeper the relationship goes. And man, when you really understand what it is to really cry out to God and pray, knowing that God hears me, knowing that I can connect to God of all power and might, day after day after day, I can connect to God. But what is it that gets in the way that we don't really get that connection? We've never really put those pieces together, whether it's religion, whether it's gromping in a house that never actually got on their face and prayed, or whatever it would be. Man, God desires a connection with us, and He desires us to connect with Him based on a relationship. Man, the more and the longer that you're in this relationship with God, again, God equates it to marriage. He equates so many different things to a husband and a wife in regards to the longer that you are married and the more mature that relationship becomes, it should be a deeper relationship. I'm hoping that your first year and your 10th year of marriage are very much different. They should be very much different. There should be maturity, and there should be a deeper knowledge of your wife and a deeper understanding of your husband. It should grow in that friendship and grow. And then you get to the 20-year mark, and then you get to the 25-year mark, and it should continuously in marriage go deeper and deeper and deeper, because you continually know more about this person and you go deeper and deeper in the relationship, because it just is this ever creative relationship that just continues to grow and mature. No different from our relationship with the Father. No different from our relationship with God. But can I ask you, man, how long have you truly come to the understanding of who God is, and His grace, His mercy, and His love, that you've come into that father-son or that father-daughter relationship with Him? And your first year of salvation really isn't any different from your 10th year. And you've kind of had this disconnect. How many times in marriage that you've been married a long time and there's this disconnect in marriage where you forgot what it was to communicate. You forgot what it was to really pray together, and you forgot what it was to talk and talk through everything. Then there's this disconnect because there's no communication. Man, we're going to talk about this morning, that every single day matters, that you stay connected to God. And it's not just crisis mode. It's not just in time of need. It's based on a relationship, based on this amazing relationship with God the Father, that we can stay connected to the Creator of the universe as we cry out to Him. Man, He leans in and hears from us, and that we would seek Him day after day after day. What does that relationship look like? Man, we see David in the Psalms. He says, I just meditate on my bed. He just lays in bed and he meditates on the Father, and he's thinking about the Father. Man, I can't tell you how many hours I spend cumulative hours of what it is to lay in bed and just think on God and think on verses and meditate on the Word of God. It just comes, and that's, we get that from Scripture. It's that connection. It's amazing that we can talk to God at any moment, at any time, throughout all the day. We can talk to Him all the time, but there are moments that it should be set apart, as we see in Jesus' life, where Jesus went away from the crowds, He went away from the disciples, and He found this quiet place to spend time with the Father. We have the ability to do both, and it's beautiful. You have the ability to cry out to Him all the time, all day long. Any moment we cry out, and He hears us. And then we're called to have those quiet moments in that secret place. James calls it a secret place, a quiet place. That's where we come and say, God, this is your time. I'm coming to cry out to you. And this is our time. This is God and I time, man. This is where we come to a place to lay it on the line day after day after day. The relationship is built right there in that secret place. It's beautiful. That should be an everyday deal. Man, I think the number one excuse isn't even not the relationship. It's not that feeling of connection. The number one excuse is, I'm just too busy. I get up in the morning, or I'm just too tired. I'm not a morning person. Listen, David said, early will I seek you. Psalm 63 says, I will seek you early. But it doesn't always have to be that sense of being early. It has to be that sense. It's a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of your timing of the day. You might be a night person. And there's so many times that I have just had that amazing connection with God at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when it's just dark and it's just Him and I, and it's so beautiful. Just even before we even pray and get into this, man, how much time, honestly, are you spending in building this relationship? How much time are you spending going deeper and deeper and deeper in this relationship as one who says, yes, I'm a son of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a daughter to the Most High God. Yes, I belong to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am His. How much time have you spent with Him, honestly, in that connection? Because this is an everyday deal, and we are called to seek Him, that we can seek Him and to know Him, and He's revealed Himself so He can be known. It's beautiful. How much time are you spending in the Word of God, where you're diving into this? He's put everything we need to know on paper. He's put Himself on page for you and I to get to know Him. And that's relationship. Again, take it back to your marriage, man. What happens if you, in marriage, you never connect to your husband or your wife? The longer you're in that marriage, the better it should get. Why is it that the longer you're in marriage, sometimes the worse it gets? Or sometimes it was great to the 10-year mark and then it just kind of dropped off. Something happened. The thing that happened was there was a disconnect. What about you and the Father, man? What about you and Jesus? You come to a point, man, we were so strong, things going so well. Somewhere along the line, there was a disconnect. What happens if we understand what it is that every day matters, and every day we're to stay connected to Him? I love it when I see Renee day after day. Renee, just an amazing wife, an incredible godly woman. Day after day, she has her own private time. She's got the Bible open. She's got the devotional open. And she's just her and God are just spending time together. And it's beautiful. Every day, it's beautiful. And then we come together and we spend our time together praying over our family, praying over our marriage, praying over our finances, praying over our children, praying over this church, over our staff. This is what we do. And we stay connected. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So honestly, when you get into this, man, I want to show you this. We're going to turn to, I think, three places today. We're going to go to three places if we can get to them. Acts 17, find Acts 17, and then John 15, and then Jeremiah 29. If we can get there, let's hope we can. Come on, Acts 17, John 15, Jeremiah 29. And this all revolves around what it is to stay connected day after day. And when you really understand this, every day matters. Today matters that we're in church staying connected. Today, Sundays matter that we congregate together as a church to be encouraged, to be built up, to continue to build this community, to stay alive in church, to stay connected to church. It's easy to fall out of habit, folks. It's easy to not go to church for a little bit and then just say, well, you know, we haven't gone for a month. Maybe, you know, maybe they'll think that, whatever, just stay connected to church. I don't think for people. I don't know what people think, but people come and then they love it. They love it. And they miss a few weeks. Well, we just didn't want you to be upset with us. Listen, you're not mine. You're God's. I don't get upset with people coming and going to church. I get pumped when people come to church, stay connected, because God begins to flow through that, and there's power in that. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Come on, look at this. Acts 17, man. This is a pretty amazing portion of Scripture, and this is all brand new from this morning, man. I've studied John 15, Jeremiah 29, but this is, I was just spending time with the Lord early this morning. This is really what he put on my heart from Acts 17, and this is an amazing portion of Scripture. You've got Paul. Okay, you've got Paul, and he's doing some ministry, and he's doing some preaching, and you've got his preaching and teaching. He's preaching Jesus and the resurrection, and you got all these people beginning to come and follow and begin to truly be born again and truly call on Jesus' name for salvation, and he just begins to change a region. Well, then you've got these other people that show up and start to discredit this, and they start to become very aggressive, begin to start riots, and you've got this group of people who love Paul, and they say, Paul, come on, we got to get you out of here. So they kind of take Paul, and they leave Timothy and Silas behind, say, you take care of the crowd, you take care of these people. We've kind of got to shovel Paul out of here and try to get him to a safe place. This is all in Acts 17. And you come to a place where you pick it up here, where they got him off to a place, and here, we pick it up. I want you to read verse 16. So here, he's gone to a place. He's now waiting for Timothy and Silas in Athens. Verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, I love this. Here, if you know anything about Paul, I could imagine the grass didn't grow under Paul's feet. I could imagine that Paul was always one who was looking, always on the move. I mean, we know that he's been beaten times without number. We know that he has been shipwrecked. We know that he has been stoned. I mean, Paul has gone through it as one who understands persecution, one who really understands what it is to preach the gospel unashamed, regardless of the consequence from mean people. So here you've got Paul, and he's kind of been pushed aside for safety reasons, and now he's at Athens, and here, I love this verse. Look at this, verse 16. And while Paul was waiting, now he's waiting for Timothy and Silas, while he was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit began to be provoked within him. He's in this waiting mode, and all of a sudden, his insides begin to be turned. Have you ever had your spirit provoked? I mean, have you ever remembered a specific time of prayer? Have you ever remembered a specific time that you were in God's presence? That you came to a place to say, God, I need this, or God, I'm amazed by you, or there was this moment in your days that you were just like, wow, God, you are so real. And your spirit was provoked to move. Come on, let's ask God to bless this, because I want your spirit to be provoked to move in your homes and your lives day after day. Father, we just are amazed by you. We come before you now to ask that you just speak to us here today. Speak to us from your word. God, let your spirit be present in this to whisper into our hearts things that we need to know from you. God, speak to us today, please. God, I thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. It is active. It is effective. God, it can deliver just such truth to us that, God, it can rearrange our lives to live in such a way that honors and glorifies you. Father, I pray that in this message, God, we see what it is to stay connected to you, to understand that we have a God who desires to be known by us, that we would stay and function in that relationship. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, speak to me today, right here, right now, in this moment. God, deliver this message to my heart. Speak to me. By your spirit, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. And we see this in Acts 17, where his spirit begins to be provoked. And it's amazing because there's a moment that I was in college. I was at Edinburgh University, and I love the snow. I love skiing. Been skiing ever since I could go straight down the hill, and the instructor would say, you need to learn to turn or it's going to be a dangerous game for you, right? So we would just go straight, and I grew up in Elford on this little tiny hill, and then I remember skiing at Wing Hollow, right down the street, and then Holiday Valley. But when I was at Edinburgh University, there was this family-owned little bunny hill. They had one tee, and I said, I'm going to work at that place just because it's fun, and it's just this amazing, fun little family. They had these two little girls. We were all best friends, and I remember there was a moment at the top of the hill when I was working. It was just cold, snowy, and there was this moment, and I had a man named Michael W. Smith. I don't know if you ever heard of Michael W. He is old school, probably the beginning of worship. He worship in Noah's day, I think. He's just phenomenal. He's been around a long time, very distinct voice. And there was this specific song that I was just really worshiping to. This is the top of this little bunny hill. It's the only hill that they had. And it's crazy because I'm up. This is how different things can be. I'm at the top of this hill in worship, and just there's a moment that I remember just crying out to God about how real he was in my life in that moment right there. And this is like a college thing, and at the bottom of the hill, they have this open keg going, and I'm in a sense of worship at the top of the hill in this little shack that wasn't the size of a person's body, and I had Michael Dubb going in my ears, and I was in this sense of saying, God, you are so real. You are so real. And you've become so real to me. I mean, that was in the top of a little shack that I'll never forget. It was a moment with God in a time of prayer and seeking him. And just that again, he revealed to me that he is so real and that he loves me and he cares about me. And he knew I was in that stupid little shack. And man, it was just powerful. Powerful moments. Do you know those moments? Do you have those moments based on your relationship with him? And you've got Paul, and he's coming to this place, and he's got his spirit that is being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. He's walking around this city waiting for Timothy and Silas. Doesn't really have such a great purpose there, but he's just in waiting mode, and he's walking around the city, and he begins to identify all of these idols, these false idols, and his spirit begins to be turned. He says, all right, not waiting for them. I've got to get busy. There's people here who are worshiping false idols, and he just begins to have his spirit provoked. When you have your spirit provoked, it causes action. So we look at this, and I want to pick it up in verse 22. So Paul stood in the midst of Agabus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription." Now here, look at this, to an unknown God. Here you've got Paul who got knocked off his donkey because of Jesus showing up in such a powerful way, understands a relationship to a very well-known God. He understands Jesus, knows Jesus in relationship with Jesus, understands the blood and salvation, understands forgiveness, realizes who God really is, and he sees this inscription on an idol at an altar that says, to the unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. I love it that Paul's waiting for Timothy and Silas, and he begins to see the environment around him. Folks, have you ever just stopped to watch and to look and to observe and to see the environment that you're in? Does it stir you? Does compassion at times overwhelm you? That you see the hurting and the broken, you see the false idols that we have around us today, you see people just pursuing money and nothing else, you see people broken and hurting, and you just, does it stir you? Because this is what did for Paul. And then he begins to proclaim truth. He says, listen, I've read this to an unknown God. And he makes a statement, says, you can know the real, true, living God. And this is what he says. The God, I love this. This is for us. The God who made the world and all things in it. Right off the bat, he says, there's the God who made the world and all things in it. That means you and me. I can imagine Paul standing on some type of platform to be able to speak to all the people of this little area. Say, listen, to the God who made you and all things. He's declaring the God of all creation and might and power. This is what he says. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth. does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. What is he doing? He sees these people that are in worship. He sees these people that are trying to worship a God that they know to be unknown. We have no idea who you are. How terrible would that be that you just are worshiping someone that you never know, that you have no understanding of who they are. You don't even know their name. You're an unknown God. And Paul shows up and says, you've got it so wrong. There's a God who created you, and there's a God who gave you breath, and there's a God who created all things. His name is the Lord. He goes right into this and flips this to a God that you can know, that he is a known God that desires to be known. And that comes through this relationship. And he says this, verse 25, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. Verse 26, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation. Listen to what he says. He says he created one man. And from that one man come all nations. He's saying, listen, you who are serving these idols, you who are worshiping God that you do not know, there is one who made you and created you, and he knows you, and he puts you here specifically. This is what he says. I love this. Having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their habitation, he's saying, listen, he knows your name, and he put you here on this earth at this specific time and put you in this specific place. There's a God that you can know. There's a God that you can stay connected to. In verse 27, here's God's purpose. Look at this. Verse 26 again. He made from one man the nations of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed time and boundaries of their habitation that they would seek God. How awful would it be that God calls us to seek him, but yet he doesn't want to be known? How awful would it be that we had a God who would say, you need to seek me, but I want to keep an arm distance from you because I don't want you to really know me. How awful that would be. But we have a God who created us to seek him. We have a God who puts you on this earth at this specific time, at this exact moment, in this exact place of your being for the purpose of seeking him, coming to know him. We have a God who's done everything possible to be known. He's given us his word that we may know him. He's given us his spirit that we may dwell in, this everlasting spirit that dwells and remains within us as his Holy Spirit so that we may know him. Look at this, verse 28. For in him we live and move and exist. Even some of your own poets have said, for we are his children. In him we live, we move, we exist. In him, in him, in him. How much is it that you're really staying connected? Come on, John 15, this is powerful. I just want to read through this. I want you to see this. This is Jesus speaking here. The way we stay connected to God is through Jesus. That is our connection, is Jesus. And he says it right here in John 15, verse 1. He says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and we're talking about this series, Everyday Matters, in a sense of bearing fruit, in a sense of reaping and sowing. And I love what he says here. If you have a highlighter, if you have your Twistables, your Crayolas, get them out. Man, begin to mark this baby up. Look at what it says. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4, get this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can it unless abide in you. Okay, Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the one who takes care of the vine, and we're called to be the branches. Branches are attached to the vine. The vine is taken care of by the Father. So when you get this, there's a word here that shows up in the New American Standard 11 times, and the word is abide. Abide in me. And the word abide, it means to stay and remain. Folks, we are called, if we are ones who are followers of Jesus, if we are ones who have given our life to him, if we're ones who recognize what it is to repent, believe, and surrender, if we've really come to a place to recognize him as king of my life, come to a place to really be born again and understand that, then the Bible says, through what Jesus speaks here, this is Jesus speaking, he says, stay connected to me. That's what he says. Remain with me. Stay connected with me. Abide in me. I love it. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you stay, unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who stays or remains in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, look at what Jesus says. For apart from me, if you're not staying connected to me, if you're not abiding in me, you're fruitless. You've got no fruit. You can't do anything unless you stay connected to me. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, but if, I love this, if you abide in me, hear it now, right here. If you abide in me, if you stay connected to me, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Folks, there's so much to what it is that you and I would stay connected to Jesus. There's so much that you and I understand what it is in this relationship to stay connected. Because when you're in this relationship and it's day after day and you begin to really understand my time with you matters, my quiet time with you is priority. It's a priority that I spend time, put time aside, get up earlier, find time at night, whatever it looks like for you, lay time aside. How is it that he is the one who put himself on a cross for us? God is the one who sent his son for us and we've got no time for him. What does that say? Honestly, what does that say? But God doesn't want us to come to him based on duty. Wouldn't it be awful if your wife or your husband only spent time with you because they had to? Or because they sat down with me and the pastor says you really should spend time together. And it was this duty thing as well, I have to spend time with you. I'd rather you not. I mean, honestly, if you feel like you have to spend time with me as my husband or my wife, don't. Folks, I want us to come to such a deep relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ because the Spirit reigns within us that it is our desire. I can't wait. I can't wait to be in his presence. I can't wait to get up to connect with him. I can't wait to get on my face. I've got a little partner now in the morning who just is a little puppy, and me and him get up together, and I'm going to get on my face and cry out to the Lord, and he just gets in my grill like, listen, Munchkin, this is God's time, not yours. And he doesn't understand that yet. So him and I pray together. He licks my face and I'm still crying out to God. That's the way it's working. When I'm on my face at his level, he thinks it's time for me and him to play. He'll realize it's God's time and not his eventually. But again, what is it that you need to remove to say, God, this is your time. This is my time to stay connected to you. Because Jesus, you said right here, if I abide in you, if I stay connected to you, and I stay connected to your word, I can ask whatever I wish and it'll be done for me. When I am in that relationship, when you've built a mature relationship with the Father, you know his will. And when you cry out his will, he answers his will. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we come to a place to realize his will is going to be done here on the earth as it is in heaven, it is going to be done. And when we begin to partner with that and cry out his will, because we've stayed connected, we've built this relationship that lasts, we understand what it is. Listen, I'm turned 47 in about 2 weeks. And man, when I understand the depth of that, been saved since I was a little child, man, I understand the depth of time, spending time with God day after day, it never doesn't get old. Listen, there's at times I think in anyone's life that maybe it gets a little dry. Maybe it's like, God, I'm coming back again. Or we come back to a place, maybe there's a season that we just don't really feel his presence. Listen, I feel that. There's times I'm like, weeks gone, God, where are you, man? I'm crying out to you, and there's times that I just, even in the sense of crying out to him, it just seems like a dry season. I think everybody experiences that. But at no time does my knees not hit the floor. Because I know I have a Father who is listening to me when I lean in to cry out to him. Whether I feel him or not, I know he is present. Whether I'm going through a dry season or not, I know that he hears me. Psalm 116 says this. Are you assured of that, man? When you get on your face, does this come to mind? I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication. I love you because you hear my voice and my supplication because he has inclined. This word inclined is a beautiful word. It means that he bends down and leans in. Does he have to do that? He knows what I'm going to say before I ever say it. He knows every word that I will ever utter. But yet in this relationship, when I begin to cry out to him, based on the relationship that he has with me, he bends down and he leans in to hear what I have to say, even though he already knows what I'm going to say. It's so beautiful. So beautiful. Because he has inclined his ear to me. He bends in and leans down to hear what I have to say. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. It's amazing, folks. How connected are you? How connected are you in your time of prayer? Do you understand? And let me just continue this in John 15. It says this. My Father is glorified by this. I love this. Look at this. For if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I love what Jesus says next. My Father is glorified in this. Glorified in what? Glorified in that connection. Glorified in what it is to remain and stay connected. And then out of a place of relationship, begin to cry out to him. Begin to ask him. We don't have a father who comes to a place to reject requests all the time. We come to a father that has, he knows the right answer. He knows our futures. There's times that we cry out and the answer is no. But it's for our best. When is it that we realize it's for our best? My Father is glorified. When you have that connection, you begin to cry out. It glorifies him. I love that. That you would bear much fruit. Prove to be my disciples. Look at verse 9, 10, and 11. These are huge. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you. Get this now, verse 11. So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. What happens when you understand what it is to abide, to stay connected, to get into a time of prayer and crying out to God? It hurts. Crying out to God, your true heart, not just the fluff, but the real deal. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm hurting. God, why is this happening? I mean, you can read, I don't have time, but you can get into Psalm 55 and you see that psalmist. He's crying out his heart to God. And it's not good. It's not a good picture. What happens when you really have such a relationship with the Father that you can share all things with him? Because you're so connected. Jesus says, when you do that, my joy will become your joy, and that you'll be made complete. Can you just bow your heads just for a minute, please? Folks, what does it look like to seek God for you? You feel distant from God? You feel like you're just not connected? I'm not saying a dry season. I'm saying a season that you just haven't spent time on your knees. Just really, and I think posture is important. Please understand, posture all through Scripture is important. The word worship literally means to bow down. Just because we stand here, there's so many different postures. The Bible talks about standing, talks about hands raised, talks about kneeling, talks about bowing, talks about just laying flat on the ground. Posture is important. It is a picture of surrender. And just so you know, even my posture changes. There's times when I'm just on my face. There's times that I'm laying flat. There's times that I'm on my knees in a bowing position. There's times that I'm on one knee before my king as a knight before his king. There's so many different postures on purpose. your relationship with God just a flyby relationship. You just do a flyby when you have time. Or it gets real deep when you're in crisis. But it's not based on such a desire and such a relationship with Him. Let me just read this over you. This is Jeremiah 29. Just receive this, please. For I know, this is what God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for blessing and not for harm. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and you will come pray to me and I will listen to you. Isn't it amazing it says then? When you know that my plan for you is blessing, when you know my plan for you is not harm, but it is a future, it is a peace, when you know that, he says, then you'll call on me. Then you'll come to me. Then you'll pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will seek me. Then you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. Man, nowhere in Scripture does it say a flyby is okay. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, God, I'm saved, I'm good enough. It's just this continuously staying connected. You will seek me and you will find me. God's not in hide and seek mode ever. God doesn't play hide and seek. God plays seek me and you'll find me. I'm not hiding. I'm not an unknown God. I'm a God who desires to be known. I'm a God who has revealed myself in creation. I'm a God who has written myself on pages, love letters for you to be able to read, to know me and know how much I love you. I'm a God who desires to be known. If you search for me, he says, I'm right here to be found. God says, I'm not hiding anywhere. If you look for me, he says, you'll find me. For I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations, from the places where I have driven you, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you. I will bring you back. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that we just, wherever we're at in this message, God, if there are those who have understood that life of connection and understood what it is to abide in you and to remain in you, to be connected to you, God, for those who understand what it is that when I cry out to you, when I'm in that place of abiding, in that place of connection, God, you hear me and you answer me. Maybe there's those in this place who, and you're in this place of being distant. In this place where you've come to a place of understanding there's a distance now between God and I. And I let that devotion time go. I let that seeking Him go. God said this morning in His Word. He says, I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back. I'll bring you back. If you search for me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. And I'll listen to you. It's so beautiful. Come on, what has God spoke to you this morning? Church, what has God said to you today? Father, I just pray over this place today. And for those who just have this sense of distance, for those who, not even on purpose, God, have set that time a distant place, God. They've lost that time with you. They've lost those moments with you in your presence, God, in their own home. They've lost that, God. I just pray that, God, they bring that back. God, they realize you're a God who desires to be known. And God, that what it is, day after day, day after day, day after day, that you be our priority. And God, we get to speak to you all day long. We get to meditate on our bed before you, constantly thinking on you. And God, then there's those moments. There's those moments, God, of quiet. Quiet on purpose. Just to spend time, God and I. Folks, when's the last time you honestly, sincerely had God and I time? Just you and Him. Just cried out your heart to Him. God, if we search for you and we seek you, you're never in hiding, God. We'll find you. And you'll hear us. Father, thank you. Father, thank you.